Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. And in case you didn't know, UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. So if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are an ambassador for Christ. You represent heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So let me repeat that. It's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and worship with us. And if you're looking for a church home, choose our home, okay? And come and spend time with us. You will be blessed, and the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you, and you will wax strong in the Spirit, and you will learn. Okay, and that's the thing. We're getting prepared for the kingdom of God. So that's, you want to be in a place where you can grow in the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay, so for right now, I want you to text or inbox or call all of your friends, family members, and tell them to dial in right now for this special edition of UCA Radio. And you know the number because some of you have dialed in, but in case you don't know it, it's 646-668-8537. Give them that number, 646-668-8537. Tell them to dial in now. Or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or Alignable, and just click on the link where you see the post, the link or the picture where you see the post of today's show to listen from your computer. Or just dial in, okay? You can click on the link today and all this week on Facebook, or you can just go to blogtalkradio.com and look for Solar Records Radio and then click on UCA Radio, okay? So there's many ways that you can do this, all righty? Okay, so that takes care of that. These are my announcements, so bear with me, all right? We have a book, and we've talked about this many times. It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. You really should read this book. It is a very powerful book, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon this book. So make sure you go to a nice, quiet area with no distractions and pick this book up and start reading and see where the Holy Spirit will take you. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. It's available right now on Amazon. So you can go right to Amazon and order this book. All right? You can visit our webpage as well, churchofjesuschristministry.com. Visit our website. And when you get to the website, you will see three lines on the left. You just click on those lines, and you're able to navigate throughout the entire webpage, okay? And then you can go to you can actually go to books. And when you go to books, it'll take you right to Amazon, and you can go ahead and order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. You can do that right from our webpage. Or you can go navigate down to media. When you go to media, it will take you to hsbn.tv, where you can watch The Message of Life. We have many programs on there, many shows that's on that station, The Message of Life with Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on hsbn.tv. Or you could catch us on YouTube. Just put my name in there. If you don't know how to spell my name, it's T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. Just put my name in there on YouTube, and it'll pop up. A lot of things will pop up pertaining to T. Meyer McCain, and you will see The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on hsbn.tv. And you can do that anytime this week, okay? And be sure to keep your eyes open for on Facebook Live for The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. So just keep your eyes open for that. It's usually on Tuesdays, okay? So be ready for that, all right? Let's see. I think that's it for my messages, so don't go away. We will be right back after this. This is Cindy Evans. Use me. Yeah, Radio, where you will hear music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain. I'm your host, and I'm going to go right into our message for today. If you've seen any of our postings today for the message, you will see that it's talking about arguing and cursing Christians who argue and curse. So this is what this message is about, and I pray, Lord, that whoever's listening to this, that it will be this message will be a blessing to them. And Lord, we thank you for your correction to help us to see ourselves and examine ourselves so that we can make sure that we are walking upright before you. So open our spirits, open our heart, so that we can receive of you today. In Jesus' holy name, thank you, Lord. Christians who argue and curse. What we don't understand, and many Christians really have to understand that, all of us have to, if you call yourself a true believing Christian, you have to understand this. Words are so important. They're very important. We don't realize how powerful words are. Keep in mind that God created communication. He created words. After all, he is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God created all things by his Word. When God created mankind, he automatically gave us words. Adam and Eve came out talking. They had words. Even a child learns how to speak by hearing and repeating words. And as time goes on, that child learns how to use words in order to communicate. They learn how to put it all together and communicate. And we all use words. Sometimes the communication that we use can come out as happy words, sad words, playful words, offensive words, or serious words. But words can be harmful and dangerous if not used with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Sometimes we allow our words to hurt people, and we say things that we don't really mean. But in many cases, you can't take it back. Once you speak it, it's out there, and you've hurt whoever you've hurt, and the damage is done, and you can't take it back. So be very careful what you say and how you say it. How you say things. Sometimes it's not necessarily what you say, but how you say it that can offend people. Keep in mind that arguing and fussing can lead to cursing, and cursing conjures up demons. Now, depending on where you're from, instead of saying cursing, we say cussing. So fussing and cussing can lead to conjuring up demons. When you use curse words at people, you are placing a curse upon them and also a curse upon yourself. You are speaking the language of demons. Now listen, many people who have died and went to hell and the Lord allowed them to come back to tell us about it, because there's many books about people who have gone to hell. You will notice in many of these books, these people always talk about, besides the stench and all of that and the ugliness, but they always talk about the filthy language. The filthy language. And that's the language that many people use here on earth. It's the language of demons. No true believing Christian should allow cursing to come out of their mouths. Even if you're joking or even repeating something you've heard someone say, don't use curse words no matter what. Sometimes you might be telling a story and you might say, you know what they said? They said, and then you start cursing because you're repeating exactly what they said. Don't do that. No matter what, just do not use curse words. Cursing is the language of demons, and they don't care how you use it, as long as you use it. Here's what James had to say about cursing in James chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth continual, that means it continually comes out, blessing and cursing. And then James says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, the scripture is saying we shouldn't do these things. We are doing more harm than good when you do these things, when you have blessing coming out and cursing. When we argue, it leads to cursing. And cursing can lead to violence, and violence can lead to death. I don't even recommend debating, because many times that can get out of hand and lead to arguing and cursing, unless it is a professionally or a spiritually well-structured and organized debate. Like, for example, the early church argued or had a debate about Gentiles who have been converted to Christianity that they should be circumcised. Now, some felt strongly that they should be circumcised, but then some felt that they didn't really have to be circumcised. It was not a debate or an argument of pride. Each side was actually trying to do the Lord's will. The argument was settled when James stood up and spoke wisdom to them all. And then they all agreed and sent a letter to the Gentiles stating this in Acts chapter 15, verse 28 and 29. You know, they sent it to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are people of other nations, non-Jews, in other words. Okay, and this is what they said in Acts 15, verse 28 through 29. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, this is the letter they sent to them, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You see, they wanted to ease their minds and not put on some of the things that were the customs of Jews to put on the Gentiles. So they said, you know, we're not going to lay any greater burden on you than these things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols. You don't want to eat anything that people have offered to an idol, and from blood, and from things strangled, which is eating of an animal with the blood still in it, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. In other words, they just said, we're going to keep it simple. Just abstain from these things and just keep on walking in the Lord. So the early church, when they got together, they disputed and had a debate, but no one was disrespectful. No one was arguing or cursing. So what am I saying? Christians shouldn't dispute, debate, or present their argument about certain matters? No, many Christians will agree and disagree about teachings in the scriptures. That happens quite often, but they should not allow foolish pride to be involved to the place of arguing and cursing and being disrespectful to one another. Even Paul and Barnabas had a misunderstanding. They argued and had a strong disagreement concerning Mark in the book of Acts. Acts 36, verse 36 through 40. And some days after, this is what it says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul didn't trust Mark because he, in other words, he He deserted them. He departed from them. He just left. And the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder. They separated one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Cilicia, confirming the churches. After a while, they were reconciled completely. All of these men head off into successful ministries. Barnabas mentors Mark to the point where Paul later sees him as a useful helper, as it is written in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." My point is to not be in such a heated argument that it causes you to be hot-tempered and get out of the spirit to the place that you start speaking the language of demons. Keep in mind what this scripture says, Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Stay calm. Let the spirit of peace be upon you and avoid unnecessary conflicts, as it is written in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. It says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." It says, better is a patient person than that. Most arguments are merely a matter of pride, foolish pride. And it is written that pride comes before the fall. Those who are full of foolish pride will fall. So avoid conflict. Avoid arguing and fussing continually. Have self-control, discipline. Don't allow yourself to be angry to the point that you sin. To be angry, don't misunderstand me now, to be angry is very common. It's common to be angry because in this life, people will make you angry. Your family members, church members even, friends and strangers. Let's face it, some people, even strangers, can push that button and then you're off to the races. Filthy words that you never knew was coming out of your mouth. Words that causes all kinds of troubles and problems. And then you feel bad afterwards and wish that you would have just kept quiet and not say anything. It, like I said, it's okay to be angry. That's not a sin. It's okay to be angry, but you are not to sin just because you are angry. As it is written in Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Follow this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and through 27. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Keep in mind that when you constantly argue with someone, no one wants to be around you. When you argue, it profits you nothing. It will accomplish nothing but make enemies. Because during an argument, everyone wants to talk at the same time, which means that no one is listening to anyone. Everyone is trying to get their point across, but no one can hear your point because of the loud yelling and cursing. Even when others argue and curse, don't take part in it, or you will be accused of saying something that you really didn't say, or you could easily be misunderstood. Just follow the advice that Paul gives to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Paul says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. It's important us to be in a position where we can teach. We don't want our words to be so offensive to people that they won't listen to us when we try to teach the word of God. We must be very careful to walk upright to the best of our ability before the Lord and get rid of the things that will keep you in sin. If we do our best, God will do the rest. As it is written in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. All of these things are tools that Satan and his demons use to make any situation escalate into something more serious, like death and murder. Satan and his demons can also put thoughts in your mind. Some people have claimed to keep that they are always hearing voices, and the voices are speaking filthy, bad words, bad language in their minds, and it is really bothering them. It's just constant. If this is you, then you must discipline yourself. Discipline starts in the mind. Keep the word of God in your mind. Read your Bible and meditate on his word, like God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right here, the Lord is giving us the key to being prosperous and having good success. The book of the law today is the Holy Bible, the Word of God. When you hear the voices of demons trying to put curse words and filthy words into your mind, cast it out in the name of Jesus. You can do that. Cast them out. Cast out those thoughts. These filthy words of evil spirits will bring forth negative thinking and will eventually cause you to imagine evil things, which will cause you to sin violently in some way. Cast the demons out of your mind and think and meditate on the things of the Lord, as Paul advises us to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You bring those thoughts that they're putting in your mind to the obedience of Christ. We must allow Jesus to put his mind in us, as it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to let or allow his mind to be in us. That takes discipline, and most Christians are afraid to discipline themselves. Let that not be you. We should all welcome discipline, whether we discipline ourselves or whether it's the Lord disciplining us. Welcome it, no matter how it comes. When Paul wrote his letters, he wrote his letters to Christians, believers, followers, and disciples, saints and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, you may ask? Why was he writing to us? Because we are not to get caught up in these evil things that's in this world. So keep in mind, All the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament was written to Christians, teaching us how to carry ourselves, how to be a light to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and a light to the world, and especially how to please God. And if we don't take heed to the things we read in Scripture, then the end result of our walk will be very bad on our part, as it is written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of hellfire or of the fire of hell. Raca means vain, empty, worthless. This is, they're belittling you when they say Raca. The Jews use this word as a word of contempt, lunatic, you know. It is derived from a root meaning to spit or spittle. Now, that is just the lowest thing you can do, spitting on someone. To call someone a fool is to call down a curse upon them. It is calling a fellow believer demon-possessed as an insult. You're doing it as an insult. And sometimes the word fool is used by non-believers who call believers fools because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even they don't know that they're in danger of hellfire. But fellow believers should never call each other fools or say Raca to a fellow Christian. Keep in mind that as Christians, we must be careful. Even if we have something against a fellow believer, you can't just go to church and stand before the Lord and pay your tithes and say hallelujah and then turn around and hate your brother or sister in the Lord. This is not true Christianity. This is not what the Holy Spirit has taught us. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother hath aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Make peace with your brother or sister in the Lord at all times, so that you can be forgiven and be blessed. We always want God to forgive us, don't we? You know that. You always want God to forgive you. But we are not always willing to forgive others. Keep in mind what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Did you understand that scripture? It is a bad thing for God not to forgive your sins. You don't want God to not forgive you of your sins. You want him to forgive your sins. So watch yourself, consider yourself, and examine yourself. We have to be very careful not to grumble, murmur, and argue among each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is very important. We must control ourselves as it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Keep in mind that in this world there is strife. There's foolish pride, but we must have wisdom in this hour. Proverbs 13, verse 10, where there is strife, there is pride. but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Take this advice that's in this message, and you will be wise. There are two men right now who are men of God, well-respected men, who had a big misunderstanding. I'm not going to give you their names, but they're well-respected men, but they had a big misunderstanding. They both talked over the phone, and it seemed that they had worked everything out. Everything was okay between the two. But one of them was caught on film, online, speaking very disrespectful about the other man of God after they had just talked and worked everything out over the phone. The words were very harmful, and to me, it caused his light to grow dim. It really hurt the feelings of the other man of God when he saw and heard it, because he thought everything was good between the two after their conversation. Thank God that the hurt man of God did not reply with evil words back to the other man of God. Instead, he stayed very calm. I pray that they truly find peace among themselves so that they can continue the work of God. Otherwise, how can they stand in the presence of the Lord if they have aught against each other? As it is written in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. The Lord just straight out said, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? We must love each other because it is also written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Did you hear that? This is scripture. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So if you have ever told a fellow believer that you hate him or her, or if you've ever told someone else that you hate a particular brother or sister in the Lord, repent. Repent fast. Repent right now. We are to be people of peace. We are to be a people of peace. Our words are to be for blessing, not cursing. We should place a blessing upon people, upon your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and all your family members, distant family and immediate family. You should place a blessing upon your church members as you pray for them, your friends and close friends and acquaintances even. And you do this by speaking the blessing with your mouths out loud. Our words are powerful. We can make things happen by speaking words, especially when we speak the word of God. The apostles received cloven tongues of fire that set upon each of them in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Cloven tongues, divided tongues, like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why tongues? Because they were to speak the word of God with fire power. We are to speak the word of God with Holy Spirit and fire power as well. But we can't speak his word 1 minute and then curse the next minute. You are polluting yourselves and making the word of God of no effect. You are causing your light to grow dim. And if you continue, then it will soon go out. Guard the word of God that's in your heart. Guard it. Keep the word in your spirit, soul, and mind. Let the word of God quicken or give life to your mortal bodies. Don't mix God's word with the words of demons. It is the same as mixing his word with doctrines of devils and demons. You can't do that and continue to live. We are God's people. Therefore, we are to walk like Jesus walked, talk like Jesus talked, and live like Jesus lived, like I said, to the best of your ability. We are to be obedient children of God, loving, attentive to his spirit, being careful with what we do and say, having respect for the Holy Spirit and not use God's name in vain or make his name common. God's name is not common. We can't make his name common. That's making it of no effect. That's taking the power from his name when you just make it common. And when you use it as a curse word or when you just yell out the name, if something surprises you or whatever. No, we have to keep him holy and keep yourselves holy. God is holy. His name is separate from all names. He is a separate God from all gods because he is the living God. So we have to keep him holy. And by keeping him holy, you keep yourselves holy. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's what the King James Version says of conversation, but it means in all manner of your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So be holy and stay holy for the glory of God and in the name and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Praise the Lord. Stay there. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. And I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and these are our scriptures for the week. You might want to write these down. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And also Proverbs 16, verse 32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Praise the Lord. Here's some more. Hallelujah. We got Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And our last one is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach. Praise the Lord. Be able to teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for spending some time with us. And we're not finished. I tell you what, just stay right there. We will be right back. Don't go away. Stay there.
Always living victory.
are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next week. And tell your friends so that they can dial in or listen to us from their computer, okay? God bless you all. Do something nice for somebody this week in the name of Jesus. And if you have an opportunity, preach the word of God to somebody. Share the word with somebody. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye for now.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we